This is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Time to take a long, hard look at how the Knicks' future figures with Julius Randle. Carlin, 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. We are on Twitter. It is at Chris Carlin. That is where you can not only send me your tweets, but you can also check out the show on video. You can do that on ESPN New York's Twitter feed and on ESPN New York's Facebook page. It's all out there for you at 800-919-3776. We're going to get to, over the next 90 minutes, Steph Curry and the very complicated legacy that he will leave when he leaves this game eventually, and exactly where he fits in the grand pantheon of things in NBA history, because it is a fascinating, fascinating conversation to really get into. That in just a bit. I want to spend time, though, to start the show today discussing where the Knicks are and where they are headed. Where they are is nowhere good, and where they are headed might be even worse. And it's not to be a negative Nelly on this whole situation, and I can't believe I just said it like I was my mother in 1982. But the point is simply this. You are sitting at 12-16. Last night, I'm not getting on them about what's transpired here because of all the COVID situations, okay? Don't get me wrong. Last night does not figure into this other than the fact that it puts you one more game further back. I really have to start to examine what a winning formula is going to look like. Because as much as I can watch Julius Randle go out there and put up 31 last night, I can watch a lot of players around the league score a lot of points for bad teams that don't have scoring, at least enough of it. We go back and we look at last year. How did the Knicks win last year? We know how they won last year. They won because they played elite-level defense where they allowed the fewest points, and they were the best three-point defensive team and field goal percentage defensive team in all of the NBA. This is how they won games, and they got an elite-level season from Julius Randle in a contract year. This is not to besmirch what Julius Randle did last year in suggesting that he did it by giving more than usual, given that it was a contract year. But it is a coincidence, is it not? You know, when you're looking forward, it's a contract-ish year. You're looking forward, you're putting the Knicks to a decision this season about what they want to do for the long term. So now he's on the hook beyond that, right? Beyond this year. And you could have put them in a situation where they would have been a little bit more cautious and not given you the contract and let you do it one more time, but they didn't. You put them in a spot where they had to make a decision sooner rather than later. And they made that decision. And since they have, the numbers have gone down considerably. I don't believe the reason is that Julius Randle got all this money and all of a sudden is not busting it nearly as hard. I don't buy that for a second. What I do look at, though, is how does he fit into the long-term construction of a real winning organization? Is he a player that last season had his best year when a team came in with a new head coach preaching a new way of playing, and that defensive intensity that was brought night in and night out paid off in so many ways, even though you were offensively deficient? They did do some good things on the offensive end. They were a good three-point shooting team. But as far as shooting overall and scoring points, they were in the bottom third. They're in the bottom third. This year, they're not defending nearly as well, and so Julius Randle has seen his numbers go down a little bit. He's not shooting it as well, from either inside three or outside three. His assist numbers have gone down by one, and his points are down 5 points per game. It's a long way of getting here. The Knicks' future is not with Julius Randle, even though they gave him the contract extension. And today is the first day that they could actually look at trading him after they signed him in the offseason. Actually, I think they could have traded him anyway. But he got the new contract extension because he was already here. So as I self-correct in the middle of that, the point is simply, this is when trades will start to happen more with the likes of Kemba Walker, who was somewhere else last year. I honestly am of the opinion that if the Knicks want to win and be a better basketball team and actually want to consistently win more, I'm not talking about titles. I'm talking about being a playoff team that is in the 4-5 range as opposed to a team that this year looks like they could fall off a cliff at any moment. I honestly think they're going to be better off if they actually pulled something off involving Ben Simmons. I really do. The more I have thought about this, we discussed it quite a bit the other night, the more it's just clear that he so much better fits what the Knicks need him to be and what the Knicks need right now. How much would Tom Thibodeau love, absolutely loves Simmons and everything he does on the court? And what would the Knicks be losing with Randle? I got to tell you guys, they're gaining a whole lot more than they're losing if you're able to trade him in a deal. And I know that the Sixers are probably not thinking about Randle first and foremost in making that kind of a deal. But at some point, they're going to have to make the best deal that they can. And if it's me, I would give up 3 first-round picks and Randle and something else to get Simmons because of the elite things he does in every other aspect of his game other than shoot. He defends at an elite level, and he can defend any position on the floor. Let me repeat that, okay? He can defend any position on the floor. He distributes the basketball and puts other guys in positions to be successful. He would not have another massive ego on this team that is not afraid of sharing its thoughts regarding another player in Joel Embiid. And I love Joel Embiid. If you're giving me the choice between the two, I'm picking Embiid. But Embiid's not available. Simmons is. He's going to rebound. And you might look at it and say, well, he can't shoot. We know that he can't shoot, but he can score. Throughout his career, he's gotten 16 a game without blinking. And he's not a triple-double the way that Russell Westbrook is a triple-double, just chasing the numbers. It happens in a much more natural fashion with his ability to handle the basketball. Let's be clear. Put it all out on the table. The Knicks are going nowhere with Julius Randle. Repeat, the Knicks are going nowhere with Julius Randle, especially as a primary piece. Nowhere. If you added Simmons to this team and you were still able to keep the likes of Barrett and Toppin, the dynamic changes incredibly quickly. And the Knicks become infinitely better in seconds. In seconds. That may not be what you want to hear right now, but it's 100% accurate. Having said that, with a very tradable contract, move on. Because you needed to understand what you got last year. It was a career season. It happens for mid-level players. That's what Randle is, a mid-level player at best. As I've told you time and again, on a good basketball team, he is a third option. Not even on a great basketball team, not even on a big three basketball team. On a good basketball team, he is a third option. And nothing about him screams that he's a leader. New York, we hear, that does not scream to me that Julius Randle is a leader. Not in any way whatsoever. Is Ben Simmons? Maybe not. But he's infinitely more gifted. Infinitely more gifted. I mean, let's put it another way. This is how good Ben Simmons is. If you took him and you replaced Kyrie Irving with Ben Simmons, the Nets would win a championship without blinking. You could count on it. Lockadini. Lock it up. It would not be outlandish to go and do this. And in the grander scheme, Simmons aside, Randle ain't it, guys. He is not the guy. He was a guy for a year in a special season with a town that was desperate to get somewhere. He is not the guy. Lines are lit. They're open for you. We'll get to some tweets as well through the course of the show. You can send them at Chris Carlin. By all means, do that. We will hit those up in just a bit. Right now, we will start with Tino in Staten Island to begin the evening. Tino, what's going on, bud? How are you?
Hey, Chris. Love you, man. I think you're a great listen. I got a couple things, Chris. Hear me out for a minute, please.
Sure.
Let's start with the coach. He's the number one problem of this team. But just hear me out and just listen to me why. This guy makes no in-game adjustments. Okay. Did he or did he not see in the beginning of the season, we were 10-8 with Kemba Walker as a starter. He, out of no reason, I understand his plus or minus was the worst in the league. I get it. Analytics.
It's not just
analytics,
him, the team.
Just driving.
It's not just his plus or minus.
He was the worst.
The team, when he was on the floor, was the worst defensive team in the league. And when he was he was on the bench, they were the best.
Fair enough. But we were still 10-8. He decides to insert Alec Burks. That, let's put it mightily, he is a journeyman that's been in the league for over 10 years, has never been a starter in this league. He is a nice role player that comes off the bench that gives us 20 minutes. If you're going to make that change, insert Emmanuel Quickley as a starter or Derrick Rose, not Alec Burks. I understand Alec Burks gives you some size.
All right, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it for a sec. Let's talk about a couple of the aspects here, Tino. Number one, I think we could both agree that they are better served with Derrick Rose coming off the bench, and that's what Derrick Rose wants to do right now. Number two.
Absolutely. Totally agree.
Number two, when it comes to Quickley versus Alec Burks, there is a universal truth when it comes to coaches, but this truth especially lands with Tom Thibodeau. He is putting on the floor the player that he believes gives him the best opportunity to win. And I know that sounds a little bit on the obvious side, but it gets away from us sometimes. And Thibodeau, in every way, would sell his soul to win every single night. So if that's what he believes is the case, what's the problem with it?
The problem is it's not working, Chris. They're 1-8 since he started Alec Burks.
Do you honestly believe?
Don't see that.
Do you honestly believe bringing Kemba Walker back? Tino, thanks for the call. Do you honestly believe bringing Kemba Walker back is going to change the dynamic of this team right now? Would the Knicks be worse if Kemba Walker was on the floor a lot more than he has been? I don't know that I'd say worse. I absolutely, based on what we saw, would not say that the Knicks would be better. I think the results right now are about the same, but they would improve if they move on from Walker, which they, in essence, have. And by the way, on the Randle trade front, and somebody pointed this out to me, I went and looked on the ESPN trade machine. You cannot trade Randle until after February the 2nd because he signed that extension. So that was the rule with Randle being traded, as opposed to the new players who came aboard and as of now, can be traded. So if you're going to wait to, if you're going to talk about Randall, it's February 2nd. Here's the good news. Still before the deadline. And do you, does anybody get the impression that the Simmons thing is getting cleared up anytime soon? I certainly don't. Aaron in Edison, New Jersey is next on 98.7 ESPN. Aaron, what's going on, dude?
What's going on, big fella? Love you, man. Hey, listen, just to touch on what the last caller said, I think he's focused on the wrong thing. I think a bigger issue is the fact that Fournier is an absolute bum, doesn't play defense, doesn't move without the ball. They knew that Fournier didn't play defense.
It's not like that's a revelation. They knew that Fournier didn't defend. The problem with Fournier is he's not scoring.
Exactly. 2 points in 29 minutes last night. Totally agree with you. But I actually want to get into your point about Ben Simmons. I think from a basketball standpoint, strictly a basketball standpoint, I actually agree with you. I think he fits better with what Tibbs likes to do. He does a lot of things at an elite level. The thing that I worry about, though, I think the last couple of years in Philly, he's turned into a bit of a basket case. You think about him attacking the fans. You think about him having, you know, the whole cell phone in the pocket thing during practice. And the fact that he's owed $33, $35, $37, and $40 million in the next 4 years. Mm-hmm. How much do you worry? I personally worry more about that than, you know, over how he fits basketball wise. I wonder what
you're thinking. All right, so let's talk about that for a second, okay? What's gone on here over the last 20 years with the Knicks besides last year? It's been an absolute nightmare in every single way. And when I look at the Knicks fan base right now, is there a thirstier group for success at the moment than the Knicks fan base? No, absolutely not. They're dying for it, as they should be. Bringing Simmons here to play in New York is not the usual pressure that it would be. And I actually would make the argument that Simmons playing in New York, he would have a much softer landing spot right now than he does in Philadelphia. Believe it or not, at the moment, it would be infinitely easier for Ben Simmons to play here for the Knicks than it is in Philadelphia. And the Philadelphia fans have been all over him in every way, and so has the superstar that is with him on the team in Joel Embiid. So having said all of that, think about that for a second. If Simmons comes here and plays like he does, and all right, he can't shoot. But if they do everything else and they're winning games, people here are going to love him. They're going to absolutely love him. Now, I don't love the fact that I agree with you. I don't think he's the most mentally tough player when it comes to playing in adversity. I will worry about that in 3 years when I'm trying to win a championship.
Well, let me ask you this. Where do you think the scoring is coming from if you think that Randall would be involved in the deal?
All right, so let's talk about that for a second. Thank you for the call, Aaron. If you were so worried about the scoring, last year was the only year in his career that Randall has scored 25 a game. Only year in his career. Every other year, it's basically about 19. And that's where he is right now. Ben Simmons averages 16 a game throughout his career, and that's a very consistent number. What he does do is he gets to the rim, and he attacks the rim, and he gets the easy dunks. And while he may not want to shoot free throws in crucial situations, he certainly can find his way to 16 to 20 on a night. I don't believe the scoring issue that people would look at would be a whole lot different. It might be 5 or 6 points in a worst case scenario, and I got to go find that somewhere else. Richard checks in on Twitter, a little bit critical, shall we say, of the trade. Perfect trade for Simmons, the worst guard ever for $35 million a year. What a joke. Knicks will get worse. Who's going to shoot the ball? Old man Rose? Not. See, this is just a classic example, Richard, of you not understanding. Ben Simmons is not the worst guard ever. By far, he is not. He does so many other things well, and everybody here is worried about what he doesn't do. I agree. My biggest concern with Simmons, and trust me when I tell you I've been no fan of his, my biggest concern has always been his mentality. But if I'm going to bring him here, he does so many different things well that are going to make my team better than they are right now, then I have no problem doing it. 33, 34 a year, and who's going to score? Oh, I don't know. R.J. Barrett? You think R.J. Barrett, with Ben Simmons to play a little pick and roll with, pick and pop, do you think he's going to get better? Do you think the other players on the team are going to get better looks because of Simmons' ability to drive? Let me answer that for you. Adoy, yes. Side checking in on Twitter. I got to say, you make all the sense in the world. I would do that trade Simmons for Randall. Last year was a fluke. He's back to his old self now. It's not going to happen straight up, okay? That's the one thing you have to wrap your head around. If they get to a point in February where they still haven't been able to do anything, then if you're the Sixers, you're looking more at a Randall plus three first-round picks. Would I do that? Let me tell you something. I would do that without blinking. 12 and 16. And I don't want to go ahead and look at the schedule ahead and all that kind of stuff. That doesn't do anything for me right now. What I want to see is hopefully they get through these COVID issues and it doesn't get too far out of their trees, so to speak. You know, I mean, they're sitting there at 12th right now. That's a mess. That's a mess. I did not expect them to be better than they were last year with their record, if this makes sense. I actually expected them to be a little bit better of a basketball team, but I actually thought that the record could be a hair worse. But I absolutely think that they should be a playoff team, and that is not happening right now. Oh, Spike in St. Pete. Happy holidays, Spike. What's going on, bud?
Well, it's great to talk to you. I'll catch you up a little bit. And in regards to Cullum in the Bronx, he's his wife's with child. And as we get older, you need the youths to back it up. Great caller, great guy. So props to him, and good luck with the child. Now, this is the way I see it. It's really simple. I opened my big pie hole 2 weeks ago and said Ben Simmons for Randall, and I got laughed at. And that's okay. Been laughed at a lot. But this is the way I see it. When you sell out the defensive integrity of what you were the best at or close to it last year in the NBA, you got to compensate for it. This trade so far with Fournier is getting in that Jim Fregosi for Amos Otis deal ranch. It looks bad. He has no idea what to do. And he's starting to remind me, Fournier, of a guy on a bad team who can score. We know plenty of those guys. Randall, I gave
See,
him
I
kind
of feel like Randall might be that. I kind of feel like he might be that, Spike. Even more
so.
You think so? Even more so.
No. Keeping Kemba on the side not to get injured, right?
Yeah. Me, and I was reading this in the Post today, I think it was Mark Berman, and I 100% agree with it. They have to be very close to, in the next few weeks, having a deal where they can trade him away, and they just do not want him to get hurt before they do.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. What I want to see, I think Leon and Worldwide West, improve the drafting situation. I saw Deuce McAllister play with Bob Huggins, was it West Virginia? And I saw Grimes. I think the big fella is pretty good there too. And and I think quickly. Listen, you negated one guy who will benefit the most by Ben Simmons.
Mitchell Robinson
would be Obi Toppin.
Or Obi Toppin, yeah. No, I didn't negate him. I said it earlier. Thanks for the call. I absolutely believe he would make Obi Toppin infinitely better. I think you were talking about Miles McBride. It might be interesting to see him a little bit more. The Quentin Grimes thing, I tell you, Quentin Grimes has a chance to be a pretty decent player. I saw him play a lot at Houston. And this is a tough-nosed defensive guard who can shoot and score. Now, I don't think he's going to be great right away, but I think he's got a chance to be a pretty good player in the league. That guy bears watching to me. Lines are open at 800-919-3776. JC on Twitter, you'd rather have a guy who's scared to shoot for Julius Randle, the only guy who could score for the Knicks. Come on, Chris. Ben Simmons would get booed out of the Garden in a night. He couldn't win with Embiid, Butler, Harris. He isn't winning with RJ and Fournier. Here's what you don't understand. And JC, like, you really don't get it. The situation in Philadelphia for Simmons is toxic in a lot of ways, and a lot of it's self-created. Right now, they are thinking about winning a championship after they went through all of their years of pain and trying to play it down the middle like the Knicks did. You are still in the midst right here of being an incredibly thirsty fan base, hoping to get to that level. Simmons in Philly is not going to work. Simmons here makes everybody else around him better. You think RJ can take his game to the next level with Julius Randle or with Ben Simmons? Please don't answer anything but Simmons. Fournier, I want to believe he'll be better with Simmons, but I honestly just don't know what to make of Ben Simmons, of Fournier right now. I really don't. Let's hit Ken in Harlem. He's next on 98.7 ESPN. Kenny, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, Chris? Good to hear you again. Listen, I think that Thibodeau is a factor in this, too. You know, his history is so demanding of the players. And if you look at him on the sidelines, he's always mad. He's always upset. You know, he's yelling at the officials. And I think at some point, the players kind of like tune him out. And that his general effect on a team after a year or two, you know, is not good. And so I think that part of the regression of some of these players has to do with the pressure that he puts on them, grind it out. At some point, this game has to be a little fun. It can't be grind in games and in practices. And, you know, as a player, you know, I can see how, okay, enough tips. I got it, okay?
Yeah,
I
have to work every day. There's no doubt that he can wear thin with some guys, but when you had the success last year that you did, you already want to say 30 games into this season, not even, that he is wearing thin with the players now after they were able to do something that hasn't been done in this town in forever? I think that's true. And also, here's the other thing. When you talk to players about him, it seems as if he is a much different coach behind the scenes with how he handles them than he was before.
Yeah, but this year, who does he mean better? Randall's not better. Barrett's not better. Fournier's not better. Walker's not better. This year, I'm talking about this year.
Last year, you're right.
Was a blip on the screen.
Listen, you're right, and thanks for the call, Ken. He has not made those guys better. At what point is it on those guys, though? At what point is it on Randall to be better? And to actually prove that it wasn't a one-hit wonder job. Because that's what it looks like. I don't know how you'd look at it otherwise. At what point is it on Barrett to get better? I think Barrett's developing. I think he's going to be a good player. I don't think he's a superstar. Is he going to be a number two? Maybe not. Maybe a high-level number three on a championship team. But these are things we're still feeling out. Walker is at a point in his career where nobody's making him better. Let's be clear. Kemba Walker is where he is because they can't magically replace his knees with a 22-year-old. He is nowhere near the player that he was. Nowhere near. So Thibodeau's a great coach, but he can't work actual magic. He's not an actual surgeon and turn him into the bionic man with his knees. Can't do that. 800-919-3776, just in case you didn't know. He's not capable of doing that. 800-919-3776. Carlin on 98.7 ESPN. Do you honestly believe, this is what I want to know right now. Do you honestly believe that with Julius Randle, the Knicks can be back in the playoffs as currently constituted? Do you think that's the case? Lines are open for you to hit me up on that at 800-919-3776. We're also going to get into Steph Curry in a little bit and why, at this point in his career, it is so incredibly difficult to really stack up where he belongs in the pantheon of NBA history, of NBA superstars. So difficult to get into that. Hey, Zeus in the Bronx is next on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Zeus, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, man? I just wanted to say I do believe Julius Randle can do it. I believe he can take him back to the playoffs one more time. He did it last year, and he is consistent. He just has to reduce his usage rate. I feel like they're using him too much. There's times that he's shooting the ball over the top, you know, in the mid-range. He should just be passing now. He gets a lot of rebounds, double-double machine. He just needs to do his part. His part is to produce at least 18. I don't want to see 26 from Randle. I want to see 18 and 10 every game. I want to see more OB. I feel like Rose is still a little old on the upside.
But what's the problem when you say I want to see more OB? OB and Randle basically play the same position.
Well, if you've seen when they play together, they have done amazing things. The pick and roll with OB and anybody has always been exceptional. OB has been scoring at the top rate. His shooter percentage must be over 50-60%. Because when I see the game and I see a lot of Knicks games, he's doing what he's supposed to do. His three-point shot is a little bit iffy, but it goes in. You know, he does it at good times. He does it when he's open. He doesn't rush the shots. I feel like Randle's just rushing it too much. He's trying too much. He just needs to calm
down.
Listen,
I love Obi as a player. I absolutely love him. I'm glad they drafted him. I'd rather see a whole lot more of Obi playing with Ben Simmons than I would with Julius Randle.
Well, I wouldn't be so sure of that. Ben Simmons cannot shoot from the three-point line.
I'm aware you'd still be wrong. Thanks for the call. I don't know if you know. To have this job, I actually have to watch games. And I understand that Ben Simmons cannot shoot from the three-point line. That's not what I need him to do. I need him to come in and make everybody else better. And that's what he does. He will come in. He will pass at an elite level. He will rebound. He will defend at an elite level. And he will score 16 a game. You just said you wanted 18 and 10 from Julius Randle. You can get that from Ben Simmons and a lot more. That's what you have to understand. Randle, for the good things he does, can still be a very, very limited player. And there's no question whatsoever they'd be so much better. Let's just talk about Randle and the deficiencies for a second. As good as he was last year, what happened when teams paid a lot of attention to him, specifically the Hawks, and wanted somebody else to beat you? They shut him down without a blink of an eye, without a problem. The Knicks' offensive spigot was shut down. Now, if you have a guy like Simmons, it's not easy to just take him out of the game, and he's going to give better opportunities to Barrett, to Toppin, to those players. That's going to happen. Big is in Brooklyn next. Big, what's going on?
What's going on, Carlin?
How are you?
I'm good. I'm just questioning with the Randle situation. I think it's a lot more than that. I think the quickly R.J. Barrett development has something to do with Randle looking so bad. Now, R.J. Barrett came in as a number three pick, and he still doesn't know how to go to his right and use his right hand going hard, and quickly doesn't like to get hit going to the rim. He stops in the middle of the lane with the floater. He doesn't attack the rim the way he's supposed to and put pressure on the defense. Now, the call a couple calls ago mentioned how do you take Kemba Walker out of the starting lineup and don't insert quickly? I agree with him. You insert quickly, and you can find a role for Kemba on the second unit. But Thibodeau just takes him quite straight out the lineup, and he still suffers. You need scoring. In the NBA now, you have to score. Now, the Ben Simmons situation, if you bring Ben in to replace Randle, how could you get offense out of that lineup that you have? It doesn't make Fournier a better defensive player.
But there's a difference. Here's the big thing that people are missing. There's a difference between being able to shoot and being able to score. Ben Simmons can score. Is he going to score 35? No. Is he going to score 16, 17? Yeah. That's not a whole lot different than what Randle gives you. Can you make up those other points? Can you accelerate the development of R.J. Barrett if Randle's there? Of course. Of course. You may not be playing, you know, maybe you're playing quickly as a backup point guard, but you're not doing that really with Rose. You got to understand, it's going to make quickly a little bit better when he's in a game if you're going to play him at some two. It's going to make Barrett better. It's going to make Toppin better. It's going to make the Knicks better. With Julius Randle right now, the Knicks are not going to the playoffs. Let's be clear about that. With Julius Randle right now, the Knicks are not going to the playoffs this year. Eric in Queens is next on 98.7 ESPN. What's up, Eric?
Done. Good. I don't know what I don't understand what people see. You are 100% right when it comes to Ben Simmons. If you look at the Knicks right now, what don't they do? They don't get to the basket. They don't have anybody to orchestrate the offense. Nobody's developing because the ball sticks with Randle. And also, if you brought Ben Simmons along, now you can take quickly from out of the point guard position, and you can now let him play his natural position, the two guard. I don't know if it's just me, but don't people see? It looks like he's confused. He don't even shoot as well as
well,
he used to.
Listen, playing point guard is something, when they drafted him, it was something that they, and I'm using air quotes here, thought he could do. And I'm not saying he can't, but he can't do it at the level of Simmons or Derrick Rose.
Absolutely.
So there's no
Absolutely.
Discussion there.
Absolutely. So if Simmons is the answer to a lot of the problems, and I don't see why people can't see it, and he's definitely
Well, people don't want to see it because of how things have gone down in Philadelphia. That's why. I mean, let's get down to it. That's the reason. Thanks, Eric, for the call.
Yep.
What you have seen from the outside is a player who is afraid to shoot. I appreciate you checking in. Thanks, Eric. It's a player who was afraid to get to the foul line in a big situation. And he has not helped his own cause in a town that is ready to win a championship right now. With a superstar that is itching to win a championship right now, too. And he has no problem speaking his mind. With all of this being the case, think about it from a Belichick standpoint for a second. What do we always say? You put guys in positions to be successful. You don't worry about the system, you worry about the talent. And you ask guys to do what they do well. You don't ask guys to do what they can't do. With Simmons, I'm bringing him in here to make other players better and to shut down the leading scorer on the other team, which he's very capable of doing. He is a top 2 to 3 defender in the league, period. Period. So with all of that, you take what the good is and understand that for your needs, it far outweighs the bad. Far outweighs the bad. And if you're worried about playing in New York, let's be clear. Did you see opening night with the Knicks? Did you see the fans? Did you see how fired up they were?
Bing bong!
Yeah. They were, you know, screaming at Durant, aren't you sorry you didn't take play for the Knicks? No, see, like all that stuff. What are they dying for? To win. So they will bring somebody like that in here, and if he is helping them win, they are going to be softer on him. This is actually an easier place to play in this one particular circumstance than it is for Simmons in Philadelphia. Given his history there and no history here, and given his skill set. That's it. Steph Curry, his place in history. You know, Steph Curry is such a complicated figure in the NBA and in the annals of basketball, so to speak, because it's so very, very difficult to put him in a position where you can really establish what he is in his career and where he stands in NBA history. First of all, for any Knicks fan that is upset about the cheering last night for Steph, shut up. Seriously, just shut up. There is a massive, massive difference between Steph Curry doing this to the Knicks and Michael Jordan doing this to the Knicks. Somebody who has stuck it to the Knicks, a rival, one of the Celtics, Larry Bird back in the day. If there are rival players that are setting a record in your building, all it's going to do is anger you. Who doesn't love Steph Curry? I mean, he's a guy that you see in your building once a year and you marvel at what he does. And yes, they lost the game. You can be annoyed by that. As far as him being celebrated and Knicks fans appreciating what Steph Curry is, honestly, get a clue. If that bothers you, you're losing a little bit of perspective on the game as a whole. Secondly, you look at Curry and there's no denying what he has done. He has changed the game. He has changed the game of basketball. When Steph Curry got into the league, the average in terms of attempted threes by a team in a game was something like 27 for the number, not the average, the number one team in the league at attempting threes in a game was attempting 27 threes in a game. Now, that's the team that's dead last. Why? Steph Curry and his shooting ability and his ability to hit from the logo. Because it has spawned other players to adapt their game accordingly. And it has changed how people view scoring as a whole. I hate the word analytics, but I don't even want to talk about it. But he has also really played more into that, into the expansion of that into the NBA. Because, quite simply, why would I shoot from over here when it's only worth 2 points, where if I shoot from over there, it's worth three? And this guy, who's been amazing at it, has won multiple championships at doing it. But how do you quantify where he is? I think about the other players who really changed the game. LeBron changed the game because he made it a positionless game, and somebody who is 6'9 and 6'10 and a massive body that can play absolutely anywhere on the floor at any point. He is one of the first real positionless players that we have ever known. Magic was similar in that regard. Magic Johnson was similar. You know, Oscar Robertson changed the game. Triple doubles were not a thing of regularity as they are now with Russell Westbrook. When Oscar Robertson averaged a triple-double in a season, that was something that nobody had seen in forever and nobody saw for a really long time after it. He changed the game. Michael Jordan changed the game. We don't even need to get into the specifics of that because we know what Michael Jordan did. Dirk Nowitzki changed the game. Kevin Durant didn't. Dirk Nowitzki changed the game. He was the seven-footer that could shoot from the outside, that could handle the basketball, that could do so many different things exceptionally well. Dirk Nowitzki was a player who changed the game. Yet when I talk to you about the top five or six players in NBA history, is he one of them? No. Wilt changed the game. He was just such an overly massive power in his physical being and would do things where they literally had to change rules so that you couldn't inbound off the backboard and Wilt could just grab the basketball and dunk it. They literally changed rules because of Wilt. Steph Curry is a classic example of not talking about the greatness of a player, but really more the impact of a player. Steph Curry may not end up being one of the top 5 or 10 greatest players of all time, but he will absolutely be one of the top 5 most impactful players of all time because his style of play completely changed the league. It changed the way teams construct their teams offensively. It changes their focus on how on what their offense is going to be. And it changes what they look for in players now. So that's how you have to characterize this. It is not about being one of the greatest players of all time. He is. But is he top 5, top 10? I really don't know, and I don't think I would put him in that arena. But his ability to change the game as he has? Yeah, he's a top 5 impactful player of all time in terms of what he has meant to the league and how the league has been affected by his mere presence. 800-919-ESPN on a video stream. Our guy PJ pulling up fat guy in a little coat. Fat guy in a little coat. Carlin, 98.7 ESPN. Let's hit as many as we can before we have some Rangers pregame coming up at the bottom of the hour. Dan Grasso for Rangers Coyotes. At least that's how they pronounce it in Varsity Blues. JoJo in Nutley, New Jersey. JoJo, what's up, baby?
Hey, how you doing, Chris? How's everything?
Good, you?
Good, good. Just on the game yesterday, you know, I've been preaching that the Knicks got to give Obi a little bit more time. He's only playing like 18 minutes a game. I know he didn't play yesterday, but I felt like yesterday was a perfect example of how the Knicks can play small. They can play Randle and Obi at the same time. If you notice, the Warriors, who I know the Knicks aren't the Warriors, but the Warriors played small the entire game. They sometimes went in a zone. They sometimes switched it up. Is it Tibbs, or do you think it's just the way he coaches, or they just can't play small? Like, I don't understand what we could do. And my second part of my question is, do you think that we should maybe, instead of going for a point guard, maybe get a mediocre point guard and stick with our young guys and go for a taller guy like Sabonis or Miles Turner, since the Pacers are trying to get rid of them? Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, I mean, the Miles Turner thing has come up a couple of times, and I don't hate it. I don't love it either. It's not my – I'm not the biggest fan of the Miles Turner thing, but I would say that when it comes to going for a mediocre point guard, haven't we seen enough of mediocre point guards in here? We've seen mediocre point guards all the time. I get what your argument is. I'm not buying it. For me, I'm more of, let's get somebody in here who's actually an elite-level player at some point. And here's the other thing that people get wrapped up in. When the package for a particular player seems like it's getting too big, there's one thing that you need to remember. 90% of the time, The team that is getting the best player in the deal, the superstar player, is going to end up winning the trade. That's just going to happen. And that would be no different if you were talking about Simmons. Eric in Queens is next on 98.7 ESPN. Eric, what's going on?
Hi, Eric. I love your show. I love you. Right.
You're
I'm going to say
Chris,
is...
But okay, yeah.
Hi, Chris. I'm sorry, Chris. All I'm going to say is that only five tool players belong in the Hall of Fame. And like you said, though, the game has changed because of Steph Curry. He's the best three-point shooter of all time. But can he do the rest? He can shoot. Can he score? Can he rebound? Can he defend? Can he do all the other things? Now, there's no argument he's going in the Hall of Fame. For me, it's like a designated hitter going in the Hall of Fame.
No.
Because a 5-tool player, in the Hall of Fame is always in the Hall of Fame. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand exactly it. You're just not right. You're wrong with it. Thanks for the call, Eric. That's the problem. If it was only 5-tool players, you'd have like 3 Hall of Famers in every sport. That's absurd. Steph can score as well as shoot. He can get to the rim. Let's not pretend that he can't, okay? He can do enough to win games, and he's a phenomenal – he can do enough to win championships, and he is a phenomenal offensive player. Like, don't lead me with the idea that a Hall of Famer must be a 5-tool player. Come on. That's absurd. Roscoe in Brooklyn is next, 98.7 ESPN. Roscoe, what's going on? You've been patient.
So I've been listening to your show now for about an hour, mm-hmm. waiting on hold, because you've been telling the public that you want to trade for Ben Simmons, right? So Philadelphia better, a better team, because that's all you're going to do. Ben Simmons is not going to come to New York and give us more points and more hustle than Randall is already giving us. And I get it. Everybody's crying. Oh, he's not the winner. I get it. But let alone, he's doing as much as he can. If RJ doesn't get his game right, if Obi doesn't play enough minutes, then we have a problem. And like the other caller said earlier, when we lost Kemba Walker, and I understand analytics is saying that he's defensively not better, we're better with.
No,
okay,
that's not even analytics,
but
bro. That's just fact.
But you're telling me Ben Simmons is going to make the Knicks better?
Yeah, a lot
How?
Better.
How?
A lot better. Bro!
He can't even hit a free throw! How?
Roscoe, you are doing the classic stupid fan thing. And thanks for the call. You are focusing entirely on what he can't do. And trust me when I tell you, I hate what he did in the postseason. I don't even love him as a player overall. But we're talking about him on this team. Are they better with him here? Yeah, they are. If you think that Julius Randle makes the Knicks better than Ben Simmons, stop watching the game. Stop. Because you know not of what you speak. Even I have to admit that. Stop watching the game. John in Freehold is next. John.
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Good. How are you, John?
Chris, I had a conversation with Larry Hardesty over the summer, and I told him at that point in time I would sell high and move on from Julius Randle. So I'm on the same sheet of music with you regarding Julius Randle. I don't think he's part of the future. He's part of any kind of, core piece, if you may.
Yeah.
But and I'm in agreement with you there, and your evaluation of him as a player, and that, I don't look at him as a long-term answer. But I got to disagree with you regarding Ben Simmons, Chris. You know, listening to you describe Ben Simmons, you're talking like I'm getting Magic Johnson in exchange for to Julius Randle.
It's a similar skill set without the ability to shoot. It's a similar skill set without the ability to shoot.
All the elite guards in this league, they all shoot from the perimeter. They all break down the defense on a consistent basis. They all are high assist players. He's not that kind of player, Chris. He's a tall, strong guard who's an elite defender, as you said, and he's going to rebound extremely well. Probably the best rebounding point guard in the league. He's not going to make people better. He's not going to make people better as you think he is.
He's an incredible passer.
He's not a high assist man, Chris. He's not a high assist man. Larry over the summer that the teams you want to target, you want to look at that situation in Sacramento with Sacramento struggling. They've got a glut of talented young point guards.
Hey, I love De'Aaron Fox, and thanks for the call. I love De'Aaron Fox. Thanks for the call. He's not a high assist man. Okay. 7 a game, not a high assist man. That's what he averaged last year. And that number was down. Stop. He is an elite level passer. Drive to the 10. Dish out, kick out, find open people, give them better chances to win, better chances to hit shots. Watch him play. Watch him play. I know what he can't do. And I'm not even going to sit here and try to sell you on the notion that they can win a championship with him, because you better have two other star players. Like, if you put them in Brooklyn, they'd win a championship tomorrow. If you replace Kyrie with Simmons, no problem. No problem. They'd win a championship without even blinking. And they may with Kyrie if he ever comes back. But with Simmons, it wouldn't even be a question. Why? Because he doesn't have to score. He doesn't have to shoot. He can get to the rim. He can get his 15. But he can worry about letting Harden and Durant shoot. And Joe Harris. And he's going to make them all better. He's going to put the ball in their hands and positions to be more successful, which is what he would do with the Knicks. Julius Randle, if he doesn't have the ball in his hands, and trust me, Julius Randle's no point guard. If he doesn't have the ball in his hands, he's screwed. You can't tell me there haven't been times this year where it looked eerily familiar. Run the clock down, 1-4 set. Shoot with 5 seconds or dish with 2 seconds left in the shot clock. Days of Melo, when they lost. Except he ain't Melo. 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.